Welcome to episode number 4 at bleedgeek.com. I'm Randy Orvis.
I'm Michael Earle.
And I'm Patrick McGivern.
I don't know, I'll just kick it off. This week was kind of rather slow compared to the last 2 weeks, I feel like. And just because there's no big conferences going on, no big announcements really from anybody. So we've just kind of picked some of the, I guess, I don't know, what interests us, a little more well-known stories, and just going to go through them. It's been a good, what you guys been up to this week? Anything exciting? Went golfing. No. One of my buddies got married.
What?
One of my buddies, Adam Burke. Adam got married. Got married on Saturday.
I invited every wedding ever.
It was out at Rush Creek Golf Course. Apparently that's one of the top golf courses in Minnesota. And come to find out also in the basement of the Rush Creek Clubhouse is a locker room. And there are multiple professionals lockers down there. Like they have name tags on them. So one notable one, Phil Mickelson, if you know anything. I mean, you don't even have to pay attention to golf and you know who Phil Mickelson is. So that was pretty sweet. And then this weekend is Father's Day and Back to the 50s car show. If you know anything about cars or car shows, almost no matter where you are in the States, you pretty much know about Back to the 50s. So I'm pretty sure it's the biggest car show in the nation now. So pretty crazy.
Crazy. It's been a pretty slow week though overall, I think.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I think like in comparison, I mean, we had different trade shows and some keynote speaks and the WWDC and D9 conference and everything that kind of like launched our first few episodes, which gave us a lot of information to talk about. But tech wise, I mean, some stuff has changed. I mean,
a few things here. I mean, stuff's always popping up, but I mean, there's stories. There's always something.
It's tech. There's always things. There's always things changing. So. So should we just bust right into it then?
Yeah.
Sweet.
All right.
So Pat has been, playing around with some music services.
Ooh. Yeah. Pat, how is your cloud based services going
since I'm not quite invited yet to the Google Music still. Beta experience still, someone else got an invite over me,
me and Mike got our invites like right away, and Pat has been eagerly awaiting his Google Music invite. And my wife, she didn't stay last night. She was up north at her parents' house. But she sent me a text message saying that she officially got her invite for Google Music yesterday. So somebody who really doesn't care about music got her invite before you.
Yeah, that makes me happy. So anyway, then I scoured the internet to figure out, you know, what other music services I can go to, and I landed onto Ubuntu. And I knew they had some type of streaming service a while ago that they had kind of integrated with their desktop version and this app called Ubuntu One. And what I found out today is after I went home last night, took an external hard drive, copied over 22 some gigs of music that I planned to upload on our business class cable at work, I figured out that this Google One service is, they give you
Google One?
Or I'm sorry, not Google One. I'm sorry, Ubuntu One, Music One. I think it's actually just called Ubuntu One. But they give you 2 gigs free, and it's, you can use the storage for like different files or whatever you need to store up there. But if you want to have the ability to stream to either an Android device or to an iOS device, you have to pay either $3.99 a month or $39.99 a year. and that's unlimited streaming. There's no caps, but you're limited to the 2 gig upload because it's kind of like a supplemented option. So I uploaded a few things and tested it out. The app that's on the iOS or that's on the App Store right now is in version one. It's out of beta, but it's still very buggy. There's still some things that it's heavily dependent on. Obviously it's heavily dependent on bandwidth. So if you don't have like access to Wi-Fi or something and you're just on like 3G, it's kind of spotty and you lose connection. And there was even a few times when I was on our company Wi-Fi where I couldn't skip to a track or I couldn't start a new song or whatever in a different album. I kept getting these errors. So, you know, altogether the experience wasn't that great. The Windows app itself to use, which is very similar to Dropbox where it's just this application that has one box or one folder that it designates as the upload folder or the sync folder, and you just drop files over there, and then you just have this, it's on this like timed interval where it checks the folder every minute to see if there's any changes to it, and then whatever is new it uploads. That didn't always necessarily work, so like I had to stop it and then start it again so it resync. I did that a couple times. And then the other thing that it's heavily dependent on is that it doesn't have any type of, if it doesn't know, like, say you uploaded a MP3 that just has a file name of what the song is and it doesn't use any of the MP3 tags, ID tags, it will get classified as, like, an unknown artist and unknown whatever various artist album, and it'll just dump it into, like, just a generic folder.
Can you change that once it's up there, or do you have to, does the MP3 have to be properly named before it's uploaded?
I couldn't find any way to do it through the app itself or through the web interface. So I'm assuming you'd have to go back and use like a tune-up program where it goes through and updates all the ID tags for you.
That would suck.
Yeah. So, I mean, overall, the experience, I think it's overly priced, to be honest with you, because we were talking, Mike and I were talking about in chat, where I could get Dropbox and then pay, or
two,
I could either...
2 gigs are always free in Dropbox.
Right.
And you can get more by getting people to sign up and other little random things. I mean, it's not a lot. It's never a lot, but... you can get more, and you can even pay for, I think they have other tiered
services.
Yeah,
they have like a 50, I think it's like a 50 gig and a 100 gig plan that you can buy into.
And I don't think they're terribly expensive even for those, but I'm not 100% on that.
And then they also offer an application for, I don't know if it's just for iOS or if they have one for Android, but it's called BoxyTunes, where you can actually stream from your Dropbox the music that you have in there.
Is that actually made by Dropbox, or is it a third fourth party at this point? Fourth party app.
I thought it was made by Dropbox. Maybe.
I mean,
it could be.
I don't know.
I've never looked at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
If anyone knows, email us at fans@bleedgeek.com.
Correct.
Is Boxy Tunes, is it a fourth party app?
Is it made by Dropbox or is it made by someone else?
Right.
Or by
it's
the
called
same
Boxy
people?
Tunes, you said?
Yeah, Boxy Tunes. So BOXY Tunes.
All right. I'm just looking to see if it is available via Android Market.
So overall, not the best experience then for you, huh?
No.
Yeah, it's kind of... Sorry, I didn't want to... It's just ridiculous. I think it's crazy how much they're charging for a...
small portion.
Yeah, a very, very small portion where, I mean, because you're still physically uploading the file.
Right.
So why wouldn't you, I feel like it would be just, you'd be better off waiting for your Google invite where you can do 20,000 songs and I've played with the streaming and it's good. It's really good, actually. I was surprised. So.
Right. And, you know, it was kind of like... as being like an open source or Ubuntu is kind of like an open source community. I mean, obviously you can't really expect the quality out of the application because it's kind of, you know, whenever someone else gets around to either making a revision on it or trying to make it better. But yeah, I mean, I'll totally agree. Like the prices that you pay for streaming services right now, it's kind of more just academic. It's more like I would never pay $3.99 a month for a streaming service through this company. I mean, obviously I'm in a free trial right now and I'll cancel it by the 15th of next month or something like that. But
well, and that's the thing. I mean, it's kind of jumping ahead, but kind of not. Let's just, Sony launched yesterday in the US, Australia and like two other countries, they launched their new streaming service, and it's $3.99 a month, and it's you have access to all their songs. I mean, you're paying the same amount to upload, and it's only streaming back what you already own. I mean, at this point, you could just pay for any. I mean, there's tons of services out there. And the $3.99 service that they're offering two. I mean, there's the $3.99, which I think is classified as the starter service, or it's called basic, and that gives you the sort of Pandora feel to it, where it's like you can just pick a radio station, you can pick by genre, mood, feel, whatever. But there's no ads with Pandora. There's ads. Well, at least the free version. There's also a paid version of that. But or the premium version of the Sony thing is $10. Well, it's $9.99, but it's $10 a month, and then it's the same as. You can pick. It's on demand. What do you want to listen to right now? The only few drawbacks that I've noticed so far to the Sony thing is, well, I mean, it sounds like a lot still, but they only have 6 million songs, which sure seems like a lot. But, I mean,
that's not
it's a quarter of the major market since they're one of the big four. I mean, you're only going to get, I mean, a lot of those songs are going to be people you don't even know of.
You think that that's because that's what Sony has...
It's just the people they already own. That's exactly what it is. I mean, it's the artists they already have on their labels, and that's what they're going to allow you to access, which...
I mean, Brett, I guess good for them on just getting out there and doing something, because, I mean, I don't think they're coming out here trying to say they want to be competitive in the cloud-based service. They just want an option.
They're just like, if you want it, here it is.
Exactly.
The other kind of funny thing to note by that is that their music service, which is called Music Unlimited, is powered by Curiosity, which most of you might recognize as also being the provider for the PlayStation Network, which, as you may know, have had some issues lately. A couple little things, maybe, being down for a month. Everyone's credit card's being stolen.
I haven't heard that.
All the information.
They're having... Then. PlayStation was having issues?
I know, right? Crazy. But I mean...
PlayStation 2, Mike?
But I think, you know, I'm sure they are obviously... I mean, maybe they had this set to go a while ago and decided maybe we should look at the security features we have set up first before they actually launched it. I mean, I don't know. It just seemed to kind of come out of nowhere. I didn't even know that Sony was planning on doing anything, so...
Yeah, no, it seemed
like interesting to see.
It seemed like when I saw it pop up in the kind of my daily news feed of the multiple sites that I check, I was surprised to see it. I didn't get a chance to read the entire article, but I was like, what? Where did these guys come from? I mean, usually you get some sort of hint like, hey, these guys are going to be doing this, and there was nothing.
Yeah, and so. It's the U.S., Australia, and New Zealand is only the three countries, and it actually launched this afternoon, so...
Awesome.
Yay so I'm sure no
if
one,
anybody,
no one has
again,
it
again. I feel like I'm now spamming the crap out of our email since the second time now. But if you decide to try it, let us know. Give us, you know, some feedback, because one of our future up and coming posts on our blog that we're gonna be talking about will be about some of the major music cloud services. So it'd be good to get somebody's feedback on that as well. Fans at bleed or fans at gmail.com.
Fans at gmail.com.
Fans at bleedgeek.com or bleedgeek@gmail.com also.
We apologize for whoever owns fans. Whoever Sky's last name ends in fans or
F-ans.
Fans.
Another thing that happened in the music world while we're talking about we sort of talked about Pandora, but Pandora went IPO yesterday.
Yes.
They started selling at $20. Today they ended at $13.26. So they ended yesterday at 17 something, and then immediately this morning it just dropped out and it went down.
Well, I think
down,
people realize.
Down.
I mean, there's no. Because I know there's been. I've been reading a lot of articles about Groupon going IPO. And it's like, what?
They don't make money.
They really, like, it. Every article that I've read and even the podcast that I've listened to, I mean, it all boils down to they aren't a money-making company. They are a service.
They make money, but they don't have revenue.
And,
they don't.
And you, like,
they
I mean,
don't profit.
You listen to the same podcasts I do, you know? And, I mean, the one thing that they said is there's no brand loyalty when it comes to deals. I don't care if it's Schmack Schmack or Flim Flam or Groupon or Daily Deals. I mean, whoever gives me the best deal for what I'm looking for, I'm going to go there.
Right.
It doesn't matter. So,
and it's not like you sign an exclusive contract or you're paying to use Groupon. It's just free.
Exactly.
They're not and they make profit. They make money, but they don't make
profit. Well, I think the only way they can make money is off of ads, basically. I mean, right. Ads, and then I'm sure they get like some sort of cut per deal that they sell. Right. But it's not enough.
I saw another article pop up today about Groupon. I saw one like a week or two ago about a small business owner coming forward and saying that Groupon basically bullied them into something. It was the worst decision they ever made for their business. And then someone that used to work at Groupon came forward recently, and you know, they said that they just push to force people into these deals.
I don't know how anybody could consider putting a deal on Groupon being a bad deal. I mean, I understand that some businesses will be losing money on them, but in the end, you're only getting your name out there even more.
Oh, right. One of the things that the lady, when she said it was the worst decision ever for her business, it just turned out like Groupon decides when they're going to put the Groupon up. Like, you don't have any say in when it goes up.
So you just say you're doing the deal.
And so, like, one of her example was their Groupon went up the same day as, like, there was this giant event, like, across the street. Like, they didn't need the publicity that day. They already had extra people coming in that they couldn't handle as it was, and then the Groupon on top of it, and it just ended up killing them. They didn't even make any money.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's just one of those things where it's they don't take into anything into effect. Any local things that are happening, any...
It's all about them.
It's they don't look at your market. They look at when they need the deal to go.
Yep. Like, that makes sense.
But I mean, I don't know
that's
that much
too bad
about Groupon, but
yeah.
That's just what I've read recently has not been good thing. So
fair enough. But yeah, I don't think. I mean, Groupon isn't anything I would ever consider putting money into.
Especially knowing that again, it doesn't make money.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's the same
as they make money, but they don't make
even
profit.
Pandora is something I wouldn't. I don't see money being made in Pandora either.
Well,
really,
I think it's gotta be pretty borderline with Pandora. I mean, there's a ton of ads. It's like every three songs you get an ad.
Yep.
Unless you want to pay for it, in which case, well then, people are paying for it. At least there's something you're paying for there. With Groupon, it's all ad revenue. And if they could get a percent of their cuts. What's funny is that Google tried to buy Groupon. But.
And the president from Pandora said that going IPO, you know, try to help fund some things, but then they're also going to try to use more targeted ads as a way of building more revenue.
Right. That makes sense. But I think, like, if I ever use Pandora now, I mean, there's the ads that come up are pretty generic, but there's little ones on the bottom that are, like, it's, like, Minneapolis
based.
Very
specific.
Yeah. I mean, at least location-wise. I know it's I see Minneapolis-based ads. So, I mean, they have somewhat now. I'm sure they can get better, though. I'm sure the more they track us, the more.
Yeah. I mean, they can just take a look at, like, what you're listening to and...
All right.
You know, kind of make an assumption as to what your age group is, and I don't know. I'm sure there's some algorithm that Google would sell them.
That pretty much.
Be like spot on by like 12 hours or something.
Or Google just go, hey, we've got this amount of money.
Well,
you want to be part of Google?
Or maybe, you know, eventually they'll put that into their cloud service. I mean,
who knows?
They haven't really announced if they're going to make people pay for it or if. Maybe they will put an ad in to keep it free, and then, you know, obviously they have everything because they have everything. They're Google.
Yeah. They're Google. About sums it up.
So.
Yeah, no. That'd be fine with me. I'm fine either way. I'm fine with letting Google run the world. It's really off topic, but I still feel like, I picture Google, I picture them as a very large company. I mean, they're a large company. They're huge. But I still feel like they're always, like, this little guy, like, sort of the underdog of the world, you know? Like, fighting Apple, you know? Because Apple's just been sitting here at the top of the podium. And this is really just kind of in the phone market itself, but...
Oh, in the phone market. I was going to say, because in general,
Well, no,
I don't see Google as an underdog at this point. I mean,
I just see them as being so dang big and so resourceful.
They don't even know what to do with themselves anymore.
They're like, why don't we just do what that guy's doing?
They just, yeah, well, they have enough money to do whatever they want. Because, I mean, one of the big ones that I remember was from a couple years ago when they decided they wanted to make their own navigation system, which is now starting to roll out. It's still officially beta software, their nav system, but 100% free, and companies like TomTom and Garmin,
they were completely
against it
because they charge.
You have to buy their
hardware
device, and then you get that device and you have to pay for, I know for Garmin, I don't know about TomTom, but you have to buy new map packs.
Yeah. I think it's a subscription service, like you pay X amount either monthly or yearly, and then they just keep your maps up to date. But and some of them even go as far as construction, but
yeah, it'd be fun to be inside Google and kind of see it, like, as a looking from above, just seeing what they do and what they think, cuz I feel like, yeah, Pat, you hit it totally. It's like they just, whatever somebody's doing, they're like, we could do that. We've got a couple billion we can throw at it. Let's see what happens. Let's
throw some money at it.
Yeah. I mean,
kind of brought up the whole, when they bought that, what platform was it? To search for airlines, and like all the other companies like Expedia and Kayak.com were like, well, they're basically going to just take, you know, whatever search engine it is that scours the internet for airlines and traffic and just send them directly to them, and Google's gonna get a cut of the money. And
yep, I actually did see that they were, something came out with that recently.
Was it recently? I know this is like months ago.
Well, no, I think they did that. They bought it a long time ago, but something recently, I saw a Google search, something that was still in development. Maybe it was at a recent conference or something, but something very similar to that where you can search for airlines and Google will find them for you now.
Right.
That was something recently, and again, that'll kill Expedia, and it's just like the same thing with the TomToms and the Garmins. But
in the end, it'll,
giving a service away,
it'll only help the consumer too, because,
whoa,
'cause you've got the sites like
unless you work at Expedia.
Expedia and Orbitz, they make so much money.
It's ridiculous.
Like, seriously, like when me and Lydia were playing our tickets to go to Australia, I was like, oh, well, let's check, you know, the major sites that do price checks for you, you know? So we went to Expedia, we went to Orbitz, we went to
Kayak.
Price Check. No, not Price
Check. Hipmunk?
There was one other.
I have a Hipmunk app.
It wasn't Hipmunk. I don't even know what that is.
It's an app for iOS. Maybe Android too, I don't know. But that is a search for flights.
Anyways. Cripes. But yeah, like the price going directly to the, like, you always assume going directly to a manufacturer. Like if you're looking at buying, say, a pair of headphones, if you go to Bose to buy those headphones, they're always way more than going to like a retail shop. Well, for some reason, I would assume that would be the same. Like, Orbitz.com would have plane tickets cheaper because they would get some sort of like mass market sort of deal from them. But it was cheaper, I think, 95% of the time going directly to the airline's site and buying tickets. And it's like, well, this is stupid. Why would it's just convenient, I guess, because you can plan a big trip. But it's like,
and maybe some airlines, and there's some that you'll get a better price on. But I mean, I have found that to be the same situation where, yeah, you go to Expedia or Orbitz or Travelocity. Is that the one you're thinking of? Yep. Travelocity. And I could get a Sun Country price that's like almost like 2/3 the cost.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's the fact that they're putting it all into this convenience package for you. So all you have to do is click buy, and they
got to pay the
both the tickets every direction. And I mean, if you're making multiple stops or layovers, I suppose they're called technically, but right.
You know. You can even rent a car, I guess. You can
right. I mean, and a lot of times you do it all in one: hotel, car, airplane. I mean, that's what it'll end. But
so, I mean, the convenience is there, but in some cases, it's not always necessary.
All right.
Excellent. Go Google.
Go.
I feel like I've said that almost every episode now. Go Google. So I guess, we kind of brought up the cloud services a bit. I'll just bring up my only gripe I noticed. I mean, totally by chance this week. I was surfing during lunch on the internet, and I'll post a link to the pictures in chat here after I say it. But so Apple obviously is coming out with their iCloud service in September, is it?
Yeah. Fall. Not September, fall.
Fall. All right. And so they've got iCloud. Microsoft has SkyDrive. And I thought it was very funny because the SkyDrive has been out now. I don't know when it officially released, but it was definitely before Apple announced their silly little cartoony cloud picture. Anywho, if you look at the icons for both of them, they are strangely similar. I feel like really, Apple, you couldn't come out with your own little idea. I mean, obviously it's iCloud. What else are you going to have an icon with? And how different can you make a cloud look? But they are so close, it's not even funny. I just couldn't believe it. While you talk, I'll throw up the pictures quick at the link.
On that same note, I actually read a rumor the other day, and I just looked for it now and found a little more to it. But it is that the current version of iCloud, which is just for developers, it's in beta, is actually currently being powered by Windows Azure. And now I also found that they said Amazon's cloud, their big servers are also currently helping host it for now until it gets...
Until they have their own.
Until they for sure... I mean, right now it's only developers have access to it currently. But just thought that was kind of the same note. I thought I'd throw that out there. And that was my anti-Apple note for you.
That's like icing on the cake for me. Seriously. Anyways, that's funny. That's funny. Is it just because
I haven't seen it as confirmed or denied. It's just rumored that currently they are. An anonymous source says. But just because, I mean, they already have their cloud services. I mean, that's what Windows Azure is. It's, you know, cloud services that are to, you know, they can scale things is really what the thing is. Obviously, Apple can handle their own when it was just their people, but when they opened it to developers, they needed a little more help before they took over fully. So supposedly it's being powered by Windows Azure and Amazon. So just thought I'd throw that out there because I know Randy would like it. So
yeah, that's awesome. We might as well just roll into...
Well, on that note, I guess there's another... Well, two rumors today I saw. One yesterday was that Facebook is making a Windows app or a Pictures app for iOS with some weird name, just strictly for putting pictures, sort of like in an Instagram way, like with filters and what have you, but... integrating their Facebook. And then there was some other interesting Facebook news today, supposedly leaked.
Is that my segue?
Right.
Okay, sorry. You're looking at me and I thought you're gonna take the front. They were talking about there's a release of a new project that Facebook is gonna try to head up, and it's this idea that it's gonna circumvent the Apple App Store and start building their own, I guess, probably store of some sort, and they call that Project Spartan.
Seems like a good name.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he was probably sitting around watching Frank Miller's 300, and he's like, can we dethrone Apple?
That's funny.
Maybe.
It's funny because Spartan just left chat.
Oh. Get back. He's going to go work on the project right now.
Gotcha.
Well, it's rumored that they brought in about 80 engineers to start working on. I mean, it seems that they want to make... There was in the news like 2 weeks ago, the Financial Times made a web app strictly off HTML5. And the whole thing was that they didn't have to sell the app in the Apple App Store and they could just allow people to make a homepage, because you can make a website, an app on your homepage, so you can just click that and it opens to the website. And the whole point was that they could make a native web app that they could circumvent having to deal with Apple's subscription problems, which the very day after they did that, Apple changed their subscription issue
instead of being completely open, almost
to being much more open. And everyone was like, oh, Apple blinked at the Financial Times, but this is what essentially Facebook wants to do now.
That's right. Cool, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's like I think Facebook is kind of heading in the direction where Steve Jobs wanted people to be anyways. I mean, he was kind of the one that was promoting HTML5, and that's like the way of the future. So,
oh, look at our open Safari. I mean, you know.
I mean, the ability that you can utilize HTML5 and not have to deal with like plugins or any other platforms that supplement a browser.
Yeah, I see what they're getting at, but I still, like, I don't see it being the, I mean, if
you don't see them taking on Apple per se.
Yeah, no, not with this. It just seems. Because I mean, well, if I had an iPhone, I don't want to have to check. Like, it's easier for me to have an app to do this than having to open up a browser to go to it.
Right. Right. And that's the arguments that are going around, is that this idea that Project Spartan is going to dethrone Apple is kind of, I mean, it's obviously, it's blasphemy. Because,
but it's a very, yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? But it's like, these developers, I guess the games that you can find on Facebook, you can already get an app for it on the App Store. So to recreate it in like an HTML5 app is kind of, there's kind of redundancies there.
Yeah, I think it opens a lot of thing. I mean, for people who have been, I mean, I don't know how many people get denied, their apps get denied, but it's a good way to just completely go around what Apple's trying to do.
And that's the thing, I think, is they just don't want to have to deal with any restrictions. They can do what they want then.
Yep, exactly.
I
mean,
and I think another thing they're trying to do is to keep the games on Facebook itself. Like, they're bringing in people from Zynga to try to help work with. I mean, because obviously Zynga makes a lot of the big games on Facebook that people get quite addicted to. And I think they want to keep them on Facebook without going into a separate app completely, because then they're not even being involved in Facebook, really. And I think, plus, I'm sure it keeps their traffic up. Not that it's not high enough already, but
right.
I mean, why not sell more ads?
That's true. So, I mean, and then the other thing, too, is that, you know, even though that you're circumventing the App Store, I mean, what is going to stop Apple from, if that's really happening, and that's kind of what, I mean, if Apple's losing traffic to their App Store because everyone's going to the Facebook App Store, I mean, what's going to stop them from stopping that? I mean, Facebook's honestly, they're using their device against Steve Jobs.
Yeah, I can't, it would be in Apple's worst interest, I think, to block HTML5. Right. I mean, like, It would just be silly, because it's clearly the way of the, I mean, it's going to be the new web standard, and why would you halt that or not? And, I mean, it's like new technology. You can't resist it. You have to embrace it, because there's nothing that's going to stop it, really.
I think another funny thing that I just read was that by Apple, by being able to do it in HTML5, it's pushing games to be in HTML5 and pushing even more away from Flash. So, I mean, the fact that Apple doesn't like Flash, I think, is actually sort of helping in that sense, because, I mean, they clearly want a flashless web.
Which I can completely understand. I mean, Flash is a very buggy plugin. I mean, it always has been since it's come out. I think I get an update. I don't think I would be exaggerating by saying like once every other week.
And I believe it. I said, like, it's like my work computer, like, constantly it's like, hey, you need to update Flash. I'm like, really? Again?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, and I know part of it is just because there's so many exploits, because it's using so many different pieces of your computer hardware that, I mean, I don't think they're performance upgrades. I think they're security upgrades, but yeah, that comes with, that's what happens when you own the market,
but
you're gonna have hacks.
Right.
That's a completely other discussion.
With this whole Facebook thing too, I think it'll be interesting to see. I mean, so this is just the leaked. I mean, it's supposedly. I mean, I guess we don't really know what the full intention is. Obviously, I mean, it just came out. What was it, today or yesterday? It was leaked out. I think it was this morning. But
yeah, I was gonna say I read most of this on my way here. So
yeah, I think it came out. I read about it this morning. I think that was the first time it had come out. So I mean, we'll see what really happens or what their aim really is in the future, but definitely sets up some interesting course of events, I'm sure.
For sure.
Indeed.
But yeah, I guess, and then if we go back to hacking, people had been hacking the Kinect previously, but as of today, I believe, Windows or Microsoft announced that they would allow people to have an SDK for it. They launched a beta for people specifically aiming at Windows PC right. users to do what you want with it. See what you can do. Yeah, What do you want to come up with?
I don't know how much you know about or have paid attention to it, but they had said when the Kinect first came out, it was going to be Microsoft's stance was it's ours. If you people want to hack it on your own, go for it, but that's it. But it was like 2 months later, they saw what people were already doing with it, and they had announced, I'm surprised it took this long for it to come out, but they had said that, like, we're going to package this SDK basically for end users to see what the limits of this device is, because I mean, I haven't got to play with it at all. We were supposed to when I went to the brother-in-law's house a couple months ago, but...
Oh, they have one?
Yep.
I haven't used one either, which, as odd as that is, I guess.
Yeah, seriously, Mr. Gadget.
I know. But, I mean, I've seen them at Best Buy, I guess, and seen plenty of videos with them in it. I mean, it seems pretty... I'm impressed by the technology, for sure. The way it is what it says it is. It's motion sensing, you know, I mean... But it's definitely, I mean, I've seen a lot of hacks already and people using it to like, oh, they can remote control a chair or something by the way they move their hands, sitting in a chair moving around. I mean, a lot of bigger things, but I think it'll be cool to see what people come up with. I mean, there's a ton of creative people out there and
yep,
it'll definitely be interesting to see what comes out of it.
Yeah, I know like when we talked about the whole E3 conference, I mean, that was the thing that Microsoft wanted to show off throughout hour and a half was look at what we can do with this. And I know,
right.
I mean, I can officially say I have seen Star Wars, not the entire series yet, but
the first three,
first one.
I've got one under the belt.
You know, okay.
One hey, of six
baby steps.
All right.
But
it's getting there.
But they've got the new Star Wars game coming out and it looked awesome. I mean, yeah, I'm just broken record style now, but I mean every action you did on there, like there was different actions to like pull out a lightsaber, do it like a flip and that kind of stuff, and it was all motion censored.
You do have a you should play the do you have the Unleashed series?
No.
Star Wars
I have Unleashed.
Them. Oh.
You need to play that series. If you're getting like addicted to Star Wars, which happened to me like 2 winters ago. Yeah, you'll love the Unleashed series.
Really?
I guarantee you.
I'll have to check
it out. The first one's good. The second one's even better.
Pat guaranteed it.
I guarantee it.
I literally haven't touched my Xbox.
It's a built-in guarantee.
I haven't touched my Xbox in a couple months.
Easy. I haven't used mine in a long time either.
If it... Yeah, off topic.
Right. No, we're talking about Kinect, sort of.
Yeah.
And Star Wars.
Well, just a quick note. For all of you guys out there listening who are Xbox players or who are PC players but would like to play with more people or always know that there's a game going on, a friend of mine suggested there's a keyboard/mouse hardware device out there. It's called Zim 3. That's with an X, so XIM the number 3. It's kind of spendy. It's $150, but it works flawlessly. I watched it with my own two eyes, and yeah, keyboard and mouse on the Xbox. For a PC guy, that's freaking heaven.
Where was that when Halo was like circling our friends?
Yeah, pretty much. Because I would have been like,
too. Why?
I'd have been owning
it. Pat couldn't handle it.
Pat would have been owning the crap out of you guys. You guys would have been crying.
So you think?
Boom, headshot. Boom.
Exactly. Well, maybe headshot. you should get that, and then we'll find
boom,
out.
Boom, headshot, ooh. Mike.
Challenge.
Challenge. Challenge accepted.
Oh, there we go.
I was challenging Pat, though, not you.
Oh.
That's not fair, because Pat hasn't played for 3 years.
When have I played?
You played within the last year, I bet.
I actually don't.
Within the last year, Mike.
All right, within the last year, I probably played.
All right.
It's been a few years for me.
Yeah. All right, so Kinect. Then I guess, I mean, it doesn't really, Microsoft kind of segues to Apple a little bit. Apple this week, I believe it was on Tuesday. Was it Tuesday that they announced the...
Wednesday.
Just yesterday?
Okay, I'll give you Tuesday.
All right. It's like, pretty sure it was before
I think Wednesday. It was supposed to be released Wednesday, but they released prices, I thought, Tuesday. So I remember we were talking about it Monday.
Fair
and
enough.
They're like,
whatever.
Yeah, I think
out.
That's how
it's out now.
It's out.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, because we haven't said anything other than Apple and it's out, iPhones unlocked. The 16, is it 16 and 32 gig?
Yep.
The 16 gig is coming
couple
out
bucks.
At a hefty price of $650. And the 32 gig.
That's changing your couch.
If, gosh, I don't know what kind of couch you have or who's sitting on your couch, but
well,
certainly not
Bill
mine.
Gates and Steve Jobs come over.
Yeah, so you can buy a couple.
Parties.
So, this, yeah, the 16 gig is $650 and the 32 gig is $750. So it's like, really, at this point, I don't know why.
They're GSM based.
Yeah, they didn't GSM. Do the. Did they do the CDMA ones?
Nope.
No, it's GSM. Just GSM.
Ah.
Because in the other nations, it's the main.
Yes.
That's GSM. The main thing.
Yeah, and it makes sense because it makes it easier because it's all SIM card based. So you
right.
can just pop. You don't have to talk to a carrier about getting your.
Getting that switch.
Right. You can just buy.
EIMI? EIMEI? Whatever the.
It is possible.
Serial number.
Serial number
it.
For the phone.
Oh,
getting
okay.
it registered.
Yeah, but I think they're kind of generally aiming those at. Business people who do travel overseas a lot and that don't want to pay roaming charges. I mean, you could buy like a prepaid SIM or whatever and kind of go with it, or I don't know, if you just want an unlocked phone and just have a lot of money to throw away, I guess. I mean, it makes you think of how much networks really do can cut off your phone costs, though. I mean
that's strongly
subsidized. Or it tells you how much a network is actually making off of you. Because
by seeing what they're willing to cut for
exactly.
that to get you
exactly,
right. I'm sure they make a killing, but that's a story for
yeah.
another day.
I don't know. I mean, $650 is a lot of money.
That's
don't
a hell
get me
lot
wrong.
Of money.
That's a good laptop. Even
I mean,
nowadays.
It's $200 to get it the same phone with a contract.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I think at $200, it's like. Pushing, like, to me, it's like, well, that's about my limit. That's standard for a phone now, I think.
Yep.
Generally, but it's still like, I think that's a lot. I mean,
two, yeah.
But $650.
Yeah, I was actually. I had a thought. Like, I remember there was like a guy that called in on Tech News Today, and he said he doesn't own a cell phone. He doesn't have a landline, and all he has is his iPod with Skype, and then he has like. You know, obviously, there's like
there's text plus texting.
Yeah,
text plus is the app.
So there's yeah,
it's,
so you have
it's
text
data
plus.
Database texting is essentially what it is.
Right, but he said he basically just put it out there. He's like, you know what? If someone really wants to get a hold of me, they'll get a hold of me. They'll either Skype me, they'll send me an email, they'll message me on Facebook or text them with.
Why does everybody assume everybody has Facebook?
They're dropping
maybe because
like
of
flies.
The active users.
Yeah.
Do you like to use Facebook, Pat?
I don't like to use Facebook anymore, but I still have Facebook.
Yeah. So you're forced into it? Peer pressure?
Forced into it.
It was funny. I looked, because you can download your history on Facebook, like everything that you've posted, all of your pictures, status updates, whatnot. I looked at mine. I was completely against Facebook back in the day. And my whole reason being was
you loved MySpace.
Right.
Why would I need two?
Well, and it my spite for Facebook was because originally it was locked down to anybody that had, as long as you had a college email address,
right,
you could get in. And I had my Pine Tech email address still. And Pine Tech wasn't listed on in their list of.
So you couldn't get in.
So I couldn't get in.
You were excluded.
Yep, and I was pissed off. And I was like,
well, the whole original point of Facebook was exclusivity.
Right.
Exclusiveness.
Exclusiveness. Exclusivity.
Yes. You learned a new word, I learned a new word. I don't remember what it was.
Anyway, if we circle back to Apple real quick. another rumor I heard today, everyone's been waiting for the new line of MacBook Airs to come out. And they were also supposed to come out this Wednesday at the same time as the unlocked phones. But now people think that they're waiting for them because they want to wait till line is released before they relaunch any of the new the Airs, the Minis, the Time Capsules, and the Airport Expresses. Are all supposed to be set for refresh, but they've all kind of running a little behind, and they think that's why.
So the new MacBook Airs, they're going to have an updated processor? At least get
the Sandy Bridge, supposedly. Sandy Bridge. Okay. I mean, of course, not released yet, so we don't know, but it's looking to have a Sandy Bridge and get rid of the mini DB port and have a Thunderbolt port.
Gotcha.
Which no one uses yet, but someday.
Yeah. What a... Everybody. Apple, that's Apple thinking ahead for you.
Well, it's not their it's Intel's technology.
Right, but it's Apple that's pushing it.
Well, right. Well, they're putting it on everything right now, but
Apple is.
Right.
Nobody else is.
There's one hard drive, I think, now. I mean, but
it's
yeah.
I love that Apple is the one to tell everybody, "Hey, you guys don't need this anymore." See, we're going to like when they got rid of what was the last one? Firewire.
I have a Firewire port.
Yeah, your laptop's like 4 years old.
It's 2 years old. And I'm pretty sure the MacBook Pro still have Firewire ports.
It's probably the different version, though. This year, there's like the 400 and then the 800. I think they changed the plug design.
Firewire. My whole point is, I feel like Apple is the one like pushing people like, hey, you guys don't really need this anymore. You need something better. You need something new and fresh. So,
well, I mean, transfer on the Thunderport is way better, though.
I understand, but pretty soon they're going to be cutting out USB and being like, hey, guys, I know you have all this awesome USB stuff, but you don't need that anymore. You should go buy out this new stuff. And it's like...
And that's when you come in with a USB 3 to Thunderbolt adapter? And you
for the win.
Market.
FTW.
Really, everything's going to go away from ports anyway. I mean, it'll all be cloud-based soon enough, right?
No.
Wireless syncing?
No, it won't be. Not until wireless can catch up with the speeds that a hardwired product can deliver.
All right, you got me there.
I don't know. There's a reason why I still run a wired keyboard and wired mouse.
No, I agree. I've always been a firm, I wish I still had everything wired. Like, even though I had a wireless network, my PlayStation had built-in wireless, but I still ran a cord to it because I felt better about it.
Yeah. What's, one thing I guess I'd like to say, sort of, because I forgot, speaking of wired and wired devices, like, the Wii, it has wireless built-in. Awesome feature, but it doesn't have a LAN port on the back. Kind of frustrating. I read that the Wii U coming out, it's full 1080p, cool. It's supposed to be faster than, 50% faster than the PlayStation 3, and it's going to have wireless built in, but again, no LAN port on the back, which is
and no DVD playing capability, or Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Not that the Wii does, it's able to be hacked for it, but... I don't know. Again, and then, yeah, the processor is supposed to be not the best graphics card that's out right now, but better than both the Xbox and the PlayStation's current graphics card.
Yeah.
So we'll see what that comes
with. Yeah, so it'll be interesting.
One other Apple thing that came out today was they had their back-to-school special announced for the past at least 5 years. I think they've given away a free iPod with a computer purchase.
Ooh, I should buy a new Mac.
And they were rumored that they were going to give some sort of discount or something on an iPad this year, but they are giving away a $100 iTunes gift card.
Oh, that's
which
cool.
A lot of people are actually disappointed about, but I think they're giving you something free. Why not?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Why should nobody has the right to complain plus, when they're giving you something for free.
Plus, when it's a student, if you have a student ID, you also get a discount anyway. They give you like $100 off a new computer if you have a student ID or an email on their site. And so that you're getting that plus the $100 gift card. I mean, I don't know why people are complaining. Like you said, I mean, free is free. I mean, in comparison, I guess it's a little less than what people think they deserve to get from Apple, but
yeah. I mean their hardware is overpriced, and you know,
I mean, and a free iPod you're $200, so about $100 gift
who needs
card.
An iPod if it's all cloud based.
That's right,
it just goes right to your ear. That's
pushed to my brain,
proven fact. No, I mean, I think that's a generous offer. I mean, there's still the, if you buy a Windows-based PC that's $699 or more, you get a free
Xbox 360
if you're a student and you have a student ID.
And a good model, not even a shitty one.
But yeah. Did you hear today that, so my prediction was on our podcast was that it's because they're giving these away because they're looking to gear up towards a new release, possibly, and get rid of inventory. And Microsoft has announced that at next year's E3, they will be demoing the Xbox 720.
Was that actually announced? I saw a rumor of it, but I didn't know they announced it. So, excellent. I heard that it was rumored within the year, but...
Yeah, they said...
That's what they're calling it, the 720?
Yeah.
Seems like a silly
name. Kind of a lame name.
But I guess it's better than Wii U.
Yeah, I like that better than Wii U. I was surprised. I figured they would come out, like, I feel like 720 is kind of like the... It's like, why not Xbox 1080? You know?
Something.
Right. I mean, you could, like, latch on, like, 1080p or something.
Yeah,
or,
exactly. Yeah. I don't know.
But, well, 720 is just...
I get it.
Yeah. We get it. Like... Even the person that doesn't even like math gets it.
Ooh. Pat did get it. So it does make sense then. All right.
720p.
Fair enough,
right?
Microsoft.
I'm just kidding. I know. Kidding. Gosh.
Anyways.
Moving on. So I feel like... Oh, and one other thing for your Apple fanboys I saw today is there are now... You know, the stereotypical Apple power button look?
Cufflinks.
There are Apple power button cufflinks now. So for
I
you
ordered
true,
mine.
For you true fanboys who have nothing better to spend your money on, you can buy a pair of power button cufflinks.
I didn't really order mine in case anybody was curious.
Yeah, right. They'll be here tomorrow.
Did order a bag of crap.
How can you miss the bag of crap when you got the Woot analyzer rolling on this?
Huh?
You missed a bag of crap yesterday?
Yeah.
Doesn't it come up on your Woot analyzer?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
No, it does, but I have to be paying attention, but I'm doing Windows 7 testing at work.
He was working, Pat.
Yeah. Sorry, some of us have to work.
Some of us have jobs.
Hey, I missed the Woot off myself.
You were at lunch.
Yeah, you were at lunch.
It didn't happen at lunch.
You were at lunch,
3:30.
Pat's at lunch all day. It's like, I'm going to lunch now. Pat goes to lunch at like 10 o'clock and comes back at like 2:30 and, well, it's about time to head home.
That is lies for any Inkscape publishing employee listening in right now.
Oh, that's funny. That's about it. Short episode this week, I think.
Make up for us going over every other week so far, though.
Yeah. I've got nothing else.
That sums it up.
Yeah,
so I mean, if anyone has any discussion topics, or Chaz, if you want to talk about something personal or technical, whatever,
personal.
Send it to fans@bleedgeek.com. We also have a phone number, which I can never remember, but Mike...
While Mike is looking that up, we are doing a couple side projects. We have just gotten funds to apply for our, well, actually, we've been approved now for our Apple developer something or other.
Package, we'll call it.
So we're looking to create, we're going to be
a couple apps.
Creating a couple apps. One for Android and one, well, a couple for Android, hopefully, and a couple for iOS as well. So on that note, we're always accepting donations. So if you have, if you like what you hear and have a few bucks to spare, we have a PayPal address. It is donate@bleedgeek.com. So yeah, I mean, we're nothing, we definitely aren't forcing any of you guys to do it, but it definitely helps. So, because there are costs on this end that we have monthly, so anything and everything helps.
Yeah.
And phone number,
it is 406-79-GEEKS or 406-794-3357. If you want to leave us a voicemail of a question or a comment or an idea, as long as it's relevant and appropriate, we would play it on air if we got one, which we haven't yet. But
yeah, hey, somebody just to make sure everything's working, even just leave us a voicemail, because it's something tech related, you know. Hey, PCs are better than Apple, you know, something like that,
or vice versa.
Hey, I can upgrade. Anyways, I feel like we have an Apple PC brawl here in the living room.
Pat will just sit and watch. Wait for the winner.
So I think.
Yeah.
All right. So I think
we have a Twitter you can follow.
Oh, I'm jumping the gun.
Twitter
here.
Is just @bleedgeek. Our Facebook is facebook.com/bleedgeek.
Yeah.
We'll come up with some sort of promotion to see if we can get more people to like it. We could give away something.
Ooh, yeah, like some sort of contest, like the person that gets the most likes, like maybe have the person post a comment on our, well, we'll talk about it. We'll figure something out.
We'll put something
up. Hopefully we'll have something up by next week.
Yeah, we'll figure out some contest, because I think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
And then we also, yeah, that's fans at Bleed Geek, obviously, we already said.
And then we've got our personal Twitters. We're all tweeting. Mike, do you tweet much? I don't feel like you tweet anymore.
I'm there.
He's always reading. He needs another person to follow because he's still behind me. So
it's true. I need more information.
You can follow me. I am @Crandall111.
Mine is @Mike037.
And mine is Hammock Time, and that's with a Y, not an I. Yeah, that works. Yep.
Yep. Awesome. All right. Well, that's it for this fourth edition of Bleed Geek. I'm Randy Orvis.
I'm Mike Earl.
And I'm Patrick McGivern.
Enjoy this awesome weather. And stay classy, San Diego.